Well, Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
I hope you all had a good Christmas. And we're facing 2026, getting ready to move out of 2025. Amen. And the word today is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. Do you understand what I just said? God is with these songs we're singing. All those names are because God is with us. The last one that was on that song, it said salvation is with us. Because that's what we needed. That's what we needed more than anything else. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Father, this morning we're thankful because there's no name like the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the year we've seen and gone through. Lord, you've brought us to the end of it, and God, we thank you. We know, Lord, there are some that didn't make it this far, and there are some that won't make it through the day. But God, we're here today. We're taking this opportunity to thank you. We're taking this time to honor you because you're worthy of our praise. Bless your word to the hearers this morning, your people in the sanctuary, your people on social media. God, we're thankful for what your word is going to say to us as a group, as the people of God, and as individuals, because Emmanuel, God is with me. Father, we thank you. Bless your word this morning. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And the title, as you can see it up there, just kind of take that. Can you read? It's kind of small, huh? Salvation is here. It's bigger behind me. Okay, there. Good. I can see it. I just want to make sure you can. What are you waiting for? Salvation is here. What we need is here. So what are you waiting for? And that's not really going to be the message. But that you know, when you're putting together a message, sometimes the message, the title, and the theme, they may not even go together. This is a new year. You know what? And as I said just a minute ago, you don't know that you're going to make it through the day, not to mention make it to tomorrow. I just lost a brother, and he passed away. He lived in Auburndale, Florida. He's 77 years old, drove all the way from Auburndale, Florida, Central Florida, all the way to Seattle, Washington. He shouldn't have driven. He should have flew. But make a long story short, he drove all the way up there. Now, that's his home. That's where he grew up, in Seattle, Washington. And he passed away. He went to the hotel. They finally made it to the hotel in Seattle, and he just went down. He stopped breathing. He had a lot of medical problems, and he passed away. And we did his homegoing on last Friday. And the reason I bring it up is because he had three daughters. One of his daughters, and I did not know this until a couple of years ago, about 20 years ago, I did something, said something, it offended her. I didn't know she was offended all those years. And I get a long text message from her one day, the year before last, telling me all the things that she had out for me. I was reluctant to go to my brother's service because of that. I got confirmation from a sister-in-law and another niece in Mexico. You need to go to your brother's service. And so I heard that and I said, okay, I'm going to go. Now, the reason that's important is because that same niece, when we got up there, we did the service. At the end of the service, she came over to me and gave me a big hug and said, Uncle Warren, I love you. And I said, I love you too. That was my Christmas present right there. And when she said, I love you too, and I said, I love you, and I said, I guess you're not mad at me anymore, huh? And we both laughed because it was like, you know, it was a nice, a soft moment. And she, you know, whatever it was, And the reason I even mentioned this as a testimony is because I had prayed. I had prayed for my family. And I think I asked Pastor to pray for us as well because I said my family's in disharmony. It was a mess up there. They were arguing and fighting and fussing. when I got up there, and keep in mind, if you're familiar with the weather, they had flooding in Seattle. And so I was reluctant to even go. I thought I might cancel the flight, cancel the hotel, cancel it all, and not go. I got, like I said, my niece, my sister-in-law said, you need to go. And guess what? When we got up there, not only was it not raining, we landed and it was sunshine. The sunshine, and we were there for how many, 4 days, Ma? And we saw no rain. The rain, and what did I, and see, you guys don't do that. I do this. I pray, Lord, give me some good weather. And the Lord, he pushed those clouds, and we flew over the clouds. Let me tell you about the clouds. I've never seen this. We flew over the top of those clouds, because you know, when you're in those planes, they go over the top. They'll increase their altitude to get past storms. I've never seen clouds that look like, this looked like, I kid you not, it looked like cotton. It looked like massive, like an ocean of cotton. And it was sitting there, it wasn't moving. And then you saw these cirrus clouds, these real thin clouds, moving over the top of those cotton ball clouds. It blew me away. I said, this is why there's so much water. Because if I were to jump out the plane through those clouds, I'd be soaked by the time I got down. And soaked and dead. Wet and dead. I just wanted to share that. The reason I wanted to share my testimony is because I don't know that I'm going to make it next time to see you. We don't know that. Every opportunity that you get to share the goodness of the Lord, you need to do that. You need to take that opportunity. You don't know that you're going to see your uncle. You don't know that you're going to see your brother, your sister tomorrow, not to mention on Sunday next week. We have to take every, this is 2025. If the Lord wills, we'll make it to see 2026. But we don't want to go. We don't want to go into 2026 without learning something that we may have overlooked in 2025. I think that's one of the things I want to talk about today in this lesson. This lesson is not so much about the title, salvation is here, that part, but what are you waiting for? I like the idea of what are you waiting for? What is stopping you from doing what you can do for your family, for your children, your grandchildren, telling them about this God, Emmanuel, God who is with us. His name is Jesus. We just came out of what, Christmas? We just came out of Advent season. And how many are glad that Christmas is over? I'm glad nobody raised their hand, because Christmas is not over. The birth of Christ, it was a day we celebrate his birth. But Christmas is, when you think about what Christmas is, it's the birth of Christ, right? Well, guess what? Every time somebody is born again, Christ is born in that person's heart. Did you ever think of that? And every time someone is born again and Christ is born in that person's heart, guess what happens? All heaven rejoices and celebrates that birth, that new birth, the same way the angels in heaven celebrated when Jesus was born. No celebration on the earth. Because nobody knew about it except what? A handful of little lowly shepherds. And they were told, go and find the little child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough of all places. Christ in you, Emmanuel, God with us. Merry Christmas. Amen. We're going to be looking at the book of Luke. We're going to look in the second chapter. We're going to read a few verses, 25 to 32. Now, when we think about his name, Jesus's name, the name Jesus has a meaning. And it's important that you understand that it has a meaning, because if you don't understand the meaning of his name, you won't understand why he came here. Matthew 1:21 tells you something. It says, and she will bring forth a son. Now, this is the angel speaking to Joseph, because Joseph, remember, was about to put her away privately because she was going to be pregnant and it's not going to be his, right? So he says, the angel says to him, he says, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. That's what his name means. It means Jehovah is salvation. So his name reflects his purpose, why he came to earth. So let's look at those verses in the second chapter of Luke, starting with verse 25. It says, and behold, I like this version. This is New King James. Yours might say, look. I like behold, because it gets my attention. It reminds me there's something unusual, something unique, something grand about what he is about to say. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Some translations say he was an old man. We don't see it in a lot of translations, but some say he was an old man. So good, he was an old man, but it says he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I want to look at that verse. I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit. He says, first of all, his name was Simeon. Simeon, his name means he who hears. He who hears. And that reminds me, and it should remind you, of verses in the book of Revelation and things Jesus would say. He would say, he that has what? An ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So Simeon, he who hears, is described by Luke. He's first described as just. He's righteous. He's a good man. He's a man that does what? He respects others. He helps others when he can. That's what it means to be a just man, a righteous man. He's honest in his lifestyle. Then it says he is what? Devout. That means he's devoted to his God. How many of us can say that? You have to, this is where the scripture tells us in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you need to examine yourself to make sure this is true of you. Are you devoted to him? That means you're dedicated. That means you have set aside a specific time in every day to honor him. We just sang songs that say there's no one like him. There's no other name besides him. He is beyond anything we can imagine. He's more than enough. He's the great I am. You know the Old Testament words for I am. When Moses asked the God, when I go back down there, they're going to ask me who sent me. Because you remember, these were Israelites who had just come out of what? Egypt. And they recognize all kinds of different gods. They're going to want to know which God you are. And what did he say? He says, tell them I am that I am. I am the becoming one. The becoming one means what? Whatever you need at the time, I become that. Do you need peace? I am Jehovah what? Shalom. If you need provision, I'm your help. He becomes what? Jehovah Jireh. So all those I am names of God, he's the becoming one. What do you need him to be? Your protector? He'll become your protector. He's Almighty God. He can protect you. So he's a just man. He's devout. He has a devotion to his God. And then it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word waiting, we talked about that in Power Hour today. Waiting. It's not about the fact that you're waiting, but how you are waiting. And we're going to talk about that. How do you wait? So he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So let's say, some translations say he was patiently waiting, and that's how you want to wait. You want to be patient with what? With God. Why? Because God is a big God. He doesn't do things on our timetable. You can pray all you want. Do it now, Lord. Do it now. I'm sorry, God don't do it now for you. He's God. He can do it if he wants to, but not because you said it. Trust me, you don't have that kind of power. Okay. So he's waiting patiently, because that word consolation means comforter. It means refreshing. That's what they're waiting. They're waiting for the consolation of Israel. Why? Because Israel was under Roman bondage, Roman oppression. So what we're saying about Simeon didn't know all what Jesus came to do. Simeon was just like most every Jew that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for someone to come along as a mighty warrior and take them to battle and to overthrow Rome. But thank God for the word of God, because we know that Jesus did not come the first time for that purpose. He came for a greater purpose. He did come to be king. Matthew says, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, Matthew's whole book, 60 times he says that verse, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because there's a king coming, but he didn't come to rule at that time in Israel. But where did he come to rule? In me. He came to be king in my heart and in your heart. So he came for the consolation of Israel, and it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he responded. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't just have the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus says when the Comforter comes, he's going to do what? He's going to be not just with you, but what? In you. So where he was moved and the Holy Spirit was only upon him, we have him living in us. And if he's living in us, how much greater should our life reflect our Father? From the beginning, that's what God created us for, to reflect him. He says, let us make man in our what? Image. What is an image? It's someone that looks the same as the thing that is imaging. Right? When you look in the mirror, when you see your what? Reflection, you don't see yourself. You see a reflection of yourself. Because that person in the mirror is not a person. That's just a reflection of a person. But we are to reflect God. When Adam fell, he blew it. And so mankind ever since then could not reflect God the way he was intended. But since Jesus came, now his spirit, he says, I'm going to leave, because if I don't leave, the Comforter can't come. And if the Comforter does come, he's going to be with you, be in you. Now you can do what Adam couldn't do. Now you can reflect God, because what? The light of God is in you now. And now for 2026, one of the things I want to do, I don't know about you. We talked about New Year's resolutions. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I just have them in my head, things I want to improve. 2025. Okay, 2026 is coming. What I want to do in 2026 is I want to be a better reflection of my Lord. Yes. Say amen.
Amen.
So it says he was waiting for the consolation. Now that word waiting, that's a tough one. That's something we don't like. We don't like waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, when you cooked a meal back in the day, you put stuff on the stove, you put it in the oven. And you do other stuff while the food's cooking. No, I got a microwave. I spend no 2 hours. I can get this whole turkey cooked in 20 minutes. We don't like waiting. Instant. We get in the line at the supermarket, and we stand in there for 2 minutes. What is going on? Because we don't like waiting. We have a problem with waiting. Think about it in Scripture. Did Abraham and Sarah wait for something? He was 100 before that baby Isaac was born. She was 90. That's waiting. Jacob loved Rachel. Got in the tent, thought everything was good, woke up in the morning, looked around. It was Leah. 14 years he waited for his bride to be his bride, Rachel. I'm talking about waiting. We don't like waiting, but sometimes you got to wait. The nation of Israel, God told Abraham, your people are going to be enslaved for 400 years. 430 years they were in Egypt. God made them a people there. So waiting is not comfortable. But think about it. If you plant seeds, you put it in the ground and you cover it up, you don't stand there and just watch. You have to wait. So we have to learn how to wait. We have to learn that waiting takes patience, and patience requires something. Psalm 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. That's in the New Living Translation. Lamentations 3:26 says, so it is good to wait quietly. So the Psalm says, wait patiently. Lamentations says what? Wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Now, what he said, quietly, does that mean like, quietly, mean quietly in your spirit. That means be calm in your spirit. The scripture says what? In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures evermore. Luke 2:26, let's look at that second verse. So we describe him in the first, 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now this old man had been what? Waiting for a long time to see what? The consolation of Israel, the Christ child, Emmanuel. It had been revealed to him. That's not the same as it was spoken to him, written down for him. It was revealed to him. You remember what happened with what Jesus said to Peter? He asked him, what? Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man? They gave all these different answers, and he asked the question, who would you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus didn't tell him that. His friends didn't tell him that. What does Jesus say? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father. God gives revelation knowledge to us. He downloads into us stuff that we, how many have you ever been in a Bible study and you're reading and you hear, they start talking about it and all of a sudden the Lord puts something in your spirit? It's like, whoa, that's deep. I like it like that. That's deep. But it says he came by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same thing happened with Jesus. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, it says that the devil drove him the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit should be driving us. It should be leading us every day, all the time. I was listening to this young lady here was giving me her testimony how the Lord arranged a thing. God sets up stuff all the time. It just amazes me and it just blows me away. And I just smile sometimes. I just, wow, you know. This is the God we serve. He's a good God, huh? He's just a good God. So it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Do you know that he could not die until that happened? He couldn't die. You ever see anybody, if you haven't seen Pulp Fiction, don't go see it. It's pretty rough. But there's this one scene when Samuel Jackson and John Travolta are standing in the room and the guy takes a gun and pow, 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 and shoots all kind of bullets at him. And then they look at each other. And I won't tell you what happened next. All I can tell you is, they didn't get hit by the bullets. And so they had this conversation. That was a supernatural thing. Anyway, don't go watch it. But I say that to say that you can't die before it's time. You can get shot 18 times. If it's not time for you to die, you won't. And you can walk down the street and not get shot at all, drop dead. Because it's your time. There's an entry date for everybody in this life, and there's an exit date, and you're gonna go just at the right, just at that time. I don't care how you, it doesn't matter how you go. Do you know something? All of us that are going to heaven, when we get there, the topics of conversation are gonna be many. One of the topics we're not gonna be asking each other is, how did you die? Like this. That's not, nobody's going to ask you. I'm not going to be asking you, how did you die? Because that's not important. The important thing is that what? I'm going to see my Savior's face. Yes, yes. Oh my God, when I see that song says, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what I will do when my face beholds you. I can only imagine. Ugh, just thinking about that, man. Verse 27 says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit ain't going to keep you too far from the church. If you say you know the Lord and you say you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you're going to find that church, especially on Sunday. You're going to be there. Why? Not just because this is the house of God. This is all, the reason this is the house of God is because what? The people of God are here. You remove the people of God out of the building, that's just a building. I don't care how tall it is. I don't care how beautiful it is. The church is us. It's not the building. And the minute you get, he says, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, they're what? I'm in the midst of them. That's where church is. You can have church in your house. You can have church in your living room. We have church all the time. When we have people over, we start talking about the Lord. And guess what? We're having church because he's there. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death. Okay, where am I? Wrong scripture. Okay. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, this is a good part right here. When the parents brought in the child, the Christ child, the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. So we got to slow down because this part right here. First of all, it says the parents brought them there. Parents, you got to take your kids to church, okay? You don't send your kids to church. You take them to church. You are the examples that God gave them to, so that they get to know who God is. You're the one that has to do that. Let me tell you something. God is the one thing you got to give your kids. If you don't give them anything else in life, if you don't teach them anything else, give them God. If your kids, I said this to my kids when they were young, if they never become rich, if they never become famous, never become that educated, never have a big house, never have a big car, never have money in the bank, if they come to know the Lord, I've done my job and I'm glad. I'm glad they're going to make heaven. All the other stuff is nothing but fluff. It's fluff. Remember again, we're not going to have that conversation. Well, how did you die? We're not going to have that conversation. What did you do when you were down there? I was a doctor? No. Man, we talking about this. Because when you get to heaven, ain't going to be no big eyes and little U's. Ain't going to be no bishops. Right. Ain't going to be no Church of God in Christ. What denomination were you? That's not going to be no topic of conversation. We're going to be doing just like those angels that are up there saying, holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God. When you look at chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah sees the holiness of God, all he can do is say, whoa, whoa, man, woe is me. I'm undone. I thought I was all that until I saw this. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and the people around me are the same. Which means Isaiah, before his calling, was no better than the people in the nation. But God did something, didn't he? The angel goes to the altar and grabs a tongue and grabs a hot coal and flies back over to Isaiah and it says, he touched my lips and he says, your sins are removed. Yeah. Your sins are removed. This is the God we're talking about. And he says, woe is me. But his sins are what caused the woe. That's what caused the woe. And when God took care of it, didn't he? He sent the angel to take care of it. Guess what? He sent Jesus to take care of it. He sent Jesus to take care of it. Because we had a problem. And it was something we couldn't fix. We were separated from God. Now we've been what? Reconciled. And he's given us what? The same ministry of reconciliation, which means what? We go find others that are not connected to God, those that don't know God, those that don't want to know God, and we go and tell them about the goodness of God. He says, I'm going to be a father to the fatherless. He loves widows. He loves orphans. He loves those that are left out. He loves the dropouts. He loves the so-called failures, the one that we look at and we look down upon. He loves. Jesus went to the woman at the well. This is a woman that was rejected by the whole town. Everybody knew her reputation. She goes to the well. Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria because I got to meet with this woman. This woman needs me. Boy, 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 what a situation. When he gets there, he's a Jew, and Jews don't have no dealings with Samaritans, especially not women. But when she left, he was Messiah. I'm telling you, this is a change that comes over us when God comes into our lives. The Spirit, let's see. So the Spirit drove him into the temple. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right at home in the temple. When the Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit comes to the temple. He's right at home there. Remember what Jesus said when he saw them selling and buying in the temple? He went and turned over the tables. He says, it was written that my Father's house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is God's house because God's people are in there. I got a question for you. The Holy Spirit should be at home in the temple, right? Here's a question for you. Is the Holy Spirit at home in you? Is he at home in you personally? This is a personal question. You have to look at yourself and say, yes, he's at home in me. And when he's in me, I step back and let him rule my day. Is he at home in you? You have to examine yourself, because I'm gonna tell you something about it. He cannot dwell in an unclean temple. He can't dwell in an unclean temple. And I'm not saying you don't have habits. I'm saying that you have to examine yourself. You want your house clean, don't you? When you have guests come over, don't you? All right. So it says they came according to the custom of the law. So there's two things happening here. The mother, 40 days after she has a baby, until that 40 days is up, she's considered ceremonially unclean. So what she has to do, she has to go to the temple, offer a sacrifice, and go through a purification. And so the son, the firstborn son, because there's more than one son, but the firstborn son falls into a special category, because God had said that everything, the first fruit of all that you bring in, belongs to me. That included the firstborn son. So the firstborn son belongs to God from the Jewish perspective. So how do you, if I'm taking my son and he belongs, how do I get it? Do I leave him? No, you bring an offering. You bring a turtle. If you're poor, you bring a turtle dove. If you have some means, you bring a goat, or you bring a sheep, and that became the redemption for that child. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to me. I don't know about you. Because Jesus became that firstborn. He became that redemptive lamb. This is why John would say when he saw him coming, he says, "What? Behold." I like that word, behold, because this is special. The lamb from God. This is not just a lamb. Hundreds and thousands of lambs were killed over a process of time in Israel for sacrifice. But God says what? The Lamb of God comes to take away what? All the sins. All the sins, mine and yours, and all those that were before Jesus and all those that are coming after us were on him on that cross. Verse 28 says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This is really something here. He recognized that this child was something different. He was driven into the temple, and he raised that. He recognized the same thing happened when John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. And Mary comes along, and John the Baptist, what did he do? It said he leaped in her womb because he recognized that the Spirit of the spirit of Jesus had borne witness with his spirit even in the womb. John the Baptist was the only person ever born filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? This has nothing to do with this lesson, but it's something. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Whatever he thought this child was going to be, it was remarkable to him. And he said, now I can die. You don't, he wasn't suicidal. That's not what this was about. He wasn't suicidal. But what? He knew that when he leaves this life, he was going to be with his Savior. The thief on the cross says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, what? This day will you be with me in paradise. This man was ready to go. How many are ready to go? I'm not suicidal. I'm not raising my hand because I'm ready to die, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. My wife knows I'm ready to go. She's going to miss me something terrible. I know I'm going first. She's going to miss me something terrible. So the first thing, he says, let your servant now depart in what? Peace. You know, peace is a wonderful thing to have. Peace is a wonderful thing to have. You know, I thank God I have peace. I'm not just with God. I'm thankful for that because that's the most important peace you want to have is peace with God. But I have peace in my family. I don't have fighting going on. I just don't. I never could take that. I avoid it at all costs. I don't do that. I can't stand it. He says, let your servant depart in peace. I got peace. I go to bed at night, peace, quiet. Now my son comes over and he says, why? Talk. I'm like, man, I like it quiet in my house. His life was complete because he had seen the Christ child. Psalm 16:11 says what? In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. Isaiah 9:6 calls him the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. Do you need peace? He's the one that can give it to you. He can take that. Matter of fact, if we have his spirit living in us, you walk into a room full of noise and chaos, guess what? You're taking the Prince of Peace in there with you. And you don't have to say a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you something. If there's spirits that are the wrong spirits, they won't be there long. I'm telling you by experience now, and I'm not into the spiritism and demon this and that, but I tell you, I've walked in the rooms and seen, and people, it's like they kind of sense that something's changed in the atmosphere. And they start to move. They get restless. It can't be still when they start moving, you know. I'm going to go on now. I'm going home now, you know. And they don't even know what. They don't understand it. But that's because that light lives in us. You know why there's so much? This is what he called us to do. He calls us to be light bearers. Light bearers. We shine light where there's what? Darkness. Not only do we shine light where there's darkness, but we bring illumination. We bring understanding with us. Yes. This light we're talking about, the Bible tells us what? Thy word, O Lord, is a what? A lamp to my feet and light to light my path. Why? Because it lights the way. Because it's dark going that way. But you, just like the headlights on your car at night, you might not have street lights, but you got headlights. And those headlights will light your way. And the word of God in us is the same way. It lights the way. It gives us understanding. You remember that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, right? So from that perspective, you look down and you see what God sees. You understand what God understands. You love people like God loves people. Now that's a big one. Verse 30 and 31, let's see. So what did I do here? Let your servant depart in peace. Why? Because my eyes have seen. your salvation. He's the so he who hears, that's his name, means he's the one that hears. He now not only hears, but he sees. Remember that, remember what happened with Job? Job says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But what? Now my eyes see. It's a whole different level when you see it. It's a whole different perspective when you see it. When you start to show people, because you can't see God, right? But you can see what God does. And so if nobody shows you or tells you that this is the work of God, they might just think it just happens. There's nothing important about this. I'm telling you, you heard that saying, you know, stop and smell the what? The fragrance is there, but you're so entrenched in your life, you don't stop to smell the roses. They're beautiful. You don't stop to smell the trees. You don't stop to watch the look at the mountains. When I look at the mountains after a rain, I'm gonna tell you, I'm looking out, and this happens all the time, but I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And I thank God, because I said, Lord, I thank you for the rain. Do you know you have to thank God for the things that, even though there's flooding and all this, when it's all over, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But this is why the world can't do this, because they don't have light, because they're blind. So it's our job to give them the light, to give them understanding, so that they start to ask the question, tell me more. Tell me more. I want to know about this. That's your opportunity. Pray for these people. Pray for them first, because you. When I gave you my testimony, I had prayed. I had prayed for peace in my family, unity in my family. When we went up there, everybody was so calm and nice. I couldn't believe it. And I said, Lord, I thank you.
Yeah.
He answers prayer. Simeon. He saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he saw the revelation of that light revelation in that baby. And remember something. This baby, we celebrate, but you know what? He was not born to be celebrated. He was born to save us. That's why he was born. He was born to save us. He didn't say, when I, you know, I want you to every year, December 25th, I want you to party. No. He didn't need that, for one thing. Because you remember what he did? He spoke and everything became. He's the one that was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word spoke and said, let there be light. He's the one that formed it all. He doesn't need our accolades. The Bible says what? The heavens declare, proclaim his glory. They're shouting it out. And it says they do it without words and without a sound. So he doesn't need it, but he loves it when we worship him. I'm almost done here. So waiting, he says, it says that he waited for the Lord. The consolation of Israel. What he was waiting for was the hope, because they had lost hope. They were in a fix. They couldn't walk down the street without being harassed by Romans. They were looking for somebody to crush them. Jesus was the hope. But what they really needed, he brought what they needed. He did over and above what they had expected him to do. So waiting. That's a message for us all. We have to learn that we have to wait sometime. We have to wait. Sometime we have to wait for a long time. But Psalm 27:14 says what? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And what? He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lamentations 3:25 says the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The Lord is good. So, back to the title of this message, had nothing to do with the message. What am I waiting for?
All right.
We're in 2025. The Lord willing, three more days away, we'll be in 2026. Am I right? Or is it four? 4 days in 2026. What am I waiting for? I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I came up with some things that I personally want to see happen for myself. And I think I told you the first one already. I want to be a better reflection of Christ. I want to reflect him better than I did in 2025. I want peace in my family. I want peace in my relationship. I already have peace, but I'm looking around. I'm looking at my family members, and I want them to have the same peace. I want them to have the peace that what passes understanding, a peace that you can't explain it. I know salvation because he saved me, but I want my family to know salvation, those that don't know. I want them to know the light of revelation that I know. I want them to see what light can do in dark places, expose the evil. I want them to understand the truth. Jesus says, I came to bear witness of the truth. I want them to understand there's a difference between what the world is saying and doing, what the devil is saying and doing, and the ways of God. I came to bear witness of the truth. I want them to have the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge of the Savior that I serve. I want them to know that. How are they going to know it? The Bible says what? If our gospel is hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. Who is going to tell them? How can they hear without what? A preacher. And how can they preach unless they're sent? Guess what? How many have been sent? Every hand should go up. You've been sent. You're sent. Yes, you are. You might not think about being sent because you think, okay, I ain't going nowhere today. You're still sent. When Isaiah said, God said to Isaiah, or God said to himself, he said, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah was standing right there, and he said, okay, you took my sin away. I'm ready to go. God has removed our sins. He didn't cover our sins up. You know, you heard of sweeping it under the rug. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He says he took it far away, far, far away. So if you're waiting for any of the things I just mentioned, if you're waiting for those things, you are in, and if you have anticipation for 2026 to be better than 2025, raise your hand if that's what you're thinking. Okay, so if everybody is in agreement, you don't have to agree with all the stuff I just mentioned, but you might have your own. So let's stand. I want you all to pray with me. We're going to pray for 2026 to come in like gangbusters and come in and so that we have an enthusiasm, an energy going into 2026 that we may not have had in 2025. We want to do better. That's why I play dominoes with the kids and I play games with them. And when I start losing, I start saying, I got to do better.